well, it's a nice day. Here's the new place. Better go on in. Let me see here. Well, lobby's nice. Let's see what's going on. Studio's this way. All right, well, go on here.
Hello and welcome to MotoPod.
Yeah, sure enough, they'd have the first room. See what's going on over here. Oh yeah, this guy. Gonna let us have batteries. Keep on going.
Welcome to Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of April
23rd,
2012.
My name is David. They got me away in the back. What's this? Oh, another podcast, same guy.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Spokesman right. Cycling Roundtable right. Podcast.
What is that? It's a dude playing his clarinet. Man, have they got me in the back. It's getting kind of dark back here. Where am I? Oh, here we go. ESBK Studios. All right, let's go on in.
ESBK Studio listeners, this is your host Richard Dort, and it is the 13th of May 2013, and I'm trying to get caught up with these podcasts. This interview, as it is time stamped, you can tell I've had it for a while. Tyler's a real good guy. Poor dude hadn't slept in, like, I don't know, 24 hours or something, getting ready for finals and all the other craziness that is college. So big thanks to Tyler and another gentleman that I spoke to. I can't remember right the name right at the moment. SUPT is Southern University Polytechnic. And they're like a lot like RIT. And I found them on the Elmoto forum, of all things, and went, ah, there's a fifth college? What the heck? And so I got in contact, and they were kind enough to do this interview. We have some serious internet issues, and we end up reverting to cell phones. So if it's a little broken up, hopefully I can have some fun editing this. And basically, enjoy. Next week is the next podcast will be the Buckeye Current. And we talk about the bike and what they've got and getting it ready for the Isle of Man. The bike is probably already over there on the island. And I think Kyle's on his way soon. So, yeah, 2 more weeks to the Isle of Man. Or, well, over 2 more weeks. So, all right. Anyway, this is about Tyler Rowan and the Southern University Polytechnic Electric Motorcycle Club / Team. Here's Tyler. Hello, it is April 23rd, 2013, and I have Tyler Rowan from, let me get this straight here, Southern Polytechnic State University's Electric Vehicle Team.
That's it?
All right.
Got it right.
Nice. How are you doing today, Tyler?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself, sir?
Not too bad. I know you've been up. It's that time of year where you guys are getting driven to the edge by your professors. So I'll try to keep it short so you can get some time today.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. It's thoughtful of you.
No worries. All right. So you guys are out of Marietta, Georgia.
Yes, we are. Yep, right north of Atlanta.
Right north of Atlanta, okay. And then how did this club come about?
Well, I guess it all started, it was a personal thing before. I'd wanted to build, I've always been interested in electric transportation. I wanted to build, a little e-bike or something. Well, an e-bike turned into an electric motorcycle thanks to Elmoto, .net, seeing the fancy builds there. And, so I went to the local motorcycle shop. And one of my fellow students actually owns it. His name is Cesar Gonzalez. He's a AMA professional racer / fellow student / motorcycle shop owner. So, I was telling him about my idea, and He's the one that actually kind of brought up the idea to do it through the university and, you know, kind of get a race team going through Southern Poly. So he basically talked me into it and said that he'd be willing to ride it since he is a, you know, an AMA pro. So that's really helped out. And, you know, for about a year, we did some yelling and screaming around campus, you know, just kind of doing the whole, you know, all the political stuff to get going and become an organization, you know, and then finally a competition team. And so now we, you know, are under the same roof as what I think I told you a little bit about the electric go-kart team that also is under our roof, and also the Alternative Propulsion Vehicle Club, who built an electric Chevy S10. So we've got a good group of people here who have, you know, a range of experience, and we are all the SPSU electric vehicle team. So that's sort of how it came about.
That's cool. That's really nice that you've got that much going on, and you guys are working together, you know, as kind of a whole team, but still with individual projects. You know, you've got some teamwork between the teams going on. That's got to be a big help to share resources and the like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, the mechanical guys working on the go-kart, you know, also will help us out with the motorcycle, and, you know, the mechanical guys that are working with the motorcycle. You know, everybody's able to share knowledge with, you know, with each other, and, you know, especially the fact that they're all, you know, electric drivetrain. I mean, that helps alone. You know, we're able to transfer, you know, apply everything else to the other vehicles. So, yeah, it definitely helps out big time.
All right, cool. Now, so how long have you guys been – were the other teams there when you started the motorcycle thing, or – and how long ago was that?
The APV club, the ones that built the Chevy S10, was the only really electric – vehicle team that existed, and it wasn't even a team, it was more just a club, you know, guys that would come out and wrench and just, you know, build electric things per se. You know, when I guess I was trying to start the team on my own, and you know, realizing that the APB was an already existing club, we kind of merged with them. We decided to merge, you know, seeing as it would be easier and, you know, it would be less groundwork that we would have to lay, seeing as they already existed as an organization. And when you're already an organization, it's easier to transition to a competition team. So we sort of all just met in a big room one day on campus and talked about it. And, you know, everybody was – turns out the APV club had been wanting to build a competition vehicle. So, you know, naturally it was right down their alley. So that just kind of happened, you know, naturally. And then the go-kart guys, I guess, found us. We had flyers up and, you know, contacted us and was like, hey, can we, you know, join up with you guys? And we're like, yeah, why not, you know. And so we all have – we're in the old telecommunications building on campus. So there's a bunch of satellite dishes around and all kinds of weird copper and telecommunications stuff. So we have nice workspace, man. We got a building to ourselves. So which, you know, probably pisses off the competition teams, you know, on the other side of the school, because they have a competition team building and they're always fighting for space. And, you know, here we are, you know, in our own building, you know.
They got a closet and you're like, oh, you know, let me stretch out into my whole building.
And we were actually the highest funded combined team on campus. So, you know, even more so than the Formula SAE team. So I hope nobody from school is listening to me. I don't know if I'll say that or not. But, you know, there's a lot of faith in us. And I guess, you know, as far as electric vehicles go, you know, people want to see it done. They want to see, you know, something different done. So, it, you know, we've got a lot of support so far. And, you know, it's been great having the support from the university. So.
That's awesome. That's absolutely outstanding. And congrats to you guys. Yeah. So what are you working? Okay. Well, before we find out what you're working on, what is your rough plan? And we're not doing this to tie you down and say you didn't show up, but just your rough hope or plan of what, when are you planning to race? What year?
Well, we're planning to race this year.
Oh, wow.
We're aiming for Indy. I believe it's, what is it, August 18th, I believe, is what we're aiming for. So, you know, of course, I'd love to do Laguna Seca. I mean, who wouldn't? I've never been more west than Alabama, you know. I mean, who wouldn't want to go race out in California? I mean, it'd be awesome. But we're definitely shooting for Indianapolis. And if Laguna Seca, you know, if we're tested and tuned by Laguna Seca, maybe. But right now, we're definitely shooting for Indy. You know, worst case Miller, and at least getting one race. You know, the first year, honestly, is the hardest, you know, to be able to get started. You know, especially, you know, we don't have as much funding as some of these bigger, you know, school, so it's been really hard to get started the first year. So I feel like even if we just did one race, it would be a huge accomplishment, you know, from where we started, you know, months ago, you know, really having nothing. So, you know, of course, one race definitely would be the goal, but definitely we want to try to make it out to Indy and Miller. So that's kind of what we're aiming for right now, and that's what it's looking like is more than likely to happen. So.
Cool. All right. And then, I heard a dink. Okay. As long as my recording's still working, probably a Facebook message. All right. So you've got a student owns, who's the AMA racer again? You said he was a student.
Yeah. His name is Cesar Gonzalez. He is an AMA pro. Actually, he raced AMA pro from 01 to 08 or 09, I think, and hasn't really done much of the racing side since. He owns his own shop right nearby, and so he's been busy, you know, running his shop. But, yeah, he's a fellow mechanical engineering technology student at school, and I actually met him in a public speaking class of all classes, and that's where I first met him. So, you know, he's going to be the one riding the bike, but he's also, you know, he's got, I think, 30 years of motorcycle experience under his belt. So I mean, he's been doing this for a long time, so he's been very valuable, you know, been a valuable resource and teammate as far as, you know, getting the project together, planning, you know, building. I mean, the guy, you know, can take anything, cut it in half, weld. I mean, he just, you know, he's got that 30 years of experience under his belt, so, you know, he's been great to work with. And, you know, we don't have to hire a racer, he is the racer.
Right.
So, you know, and fellow students. So I feel like, you know, it's the perfect scenario. You know, it couldn't have worked out any better.
That is really cool. So what are you guys, what's your project? I mean, were you running with a donor bike, or are you running a custom chassis, or what do we got here?
Yeah, well, basically, Cesar used to race Kawasaki bikes for a satellite team out of, I believe it was Ireland.
Celtic Racing.
It might be, I have no idea. It was a Kawasaki team, so I don't know if it was Team Kawasaki specifically, or is Celtic Racing a Kawasaki team? I'm not sure.
I think at one point they were racing Kawasaki's.
I'll have to ask him. That's the first time I've heard that. I don't know why he didn't mention it, but I'm pretty sure it was out of Ireland. He's got a lot of Irish buddies, and he's got a lot of Kawasaki's around, you know, around his shop. And that aren't being used. So what we have is a Kawasaki KR1 chassis, little 250cc chassis. And the reason we picked to go with that was obviously, you know, the weight benefit.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been a real challenge, you know, calculating the area inside the chassis and figuring out how we're gonna you know, pack on all the parts of the bike. But I think it'll prove to be a pretty interesting machine when we're finished with it. So. That's the chassis. It's, you know, real lightweight.
Yeah. So you think you got enough room for enough batteries?
Oh yeah.
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 Now what are you guys going to be running for a pack size, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, that's fine. We're looking at around anywhere. You know, we talked about doing the 75, but honestly, it's probably looking like we're gonna pack more. I want to say 8 to 9.5 kilowatt hour on the bike.
All right. Well, that puts you on par with where ECRP left off, because they were running a 250 chassis. You know,
right.
I mean, they had a custom chassis, but I'm pretty sure it was closely related to whatever 250 chassis they had built in the past. And they were running them and Zhongshen, instead of running 7.5 and running in that class, they ran full 9 kilowatt hour packs. So.
Right.
That'll put you right in there. That'll put you a bigger pack than Amarok's racing. What are you guys packing for power?
You know, we're still looking for sponsorship at the moment. We've got a motor in-house right now. You know, we've got, you know, an AC20 we've been playing around with, but we're really hoping to secure some more sponsorship before the race, so that we, you know, we've looked at Remy, we've looked at Amarok, we've been looking at some different companies, but we're not fully decided yet. You know, we don't know the level of commitment from the sponsors. You know, we don't want to pick a motor and then not be able to use it, you know. So the motor is the only part really that's up in the air right now. And it's really frustrating because, you know, we'd like to know for sure what we're using. But, you know, at the moment we've been really looking into to cooling techniques, different cooling techniques. And I don't want to say too much because we're, you know, they'll kill me if I talk about it too much. But,
ARC EV Racing's got a lot of experience with AC20s.
Yeah, I've talked to, I believe it was Matt over there.
Yep.
Matt. Yeah, real nice guy. And he had given me a couple of tips. And we looked at, I don't know how to phrase this right, not liquid, a type of air cooling. Let's just say really, really cold air. Been looking at some different ideas. Nothing set in stone. And forgive me, I wish I could go into more detail about it, but that's the one.
Keep your competitive edge.
But we've got some different ideas we're hoping to bring to the table. So.
All right. Have you looked at what Ripperton was doing with his quad stack?
I can't say that I have. Was it?
That's the one where last year he was only running 60 horsepower, and now he's running 120 and smoking the tire everywhere.
You know, I missed that somehow.
that was a Facebook post. Ripperton's one of the Australian teams, and he's running the Mott Energy PMAC, but the axial flux PMACs.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
And then, so basically, he's got basically two motors stacked next to each other, and he calls it the quad stack.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and he's getting some. And then he's on the Ed. Is it Ed? He races an old CV. He's converted over. He's the distributor. He is Mott Energy, where you get those little PMAC motors.
Right.
I think they figured out some cooling as well. So that might be a way. I can't remember who he is on the Elmoto forum, like a moron. that might be a really good way to go too, because that's basically where Zero's gone. Although Zero's got an in-house design motor, I think they're having his connections build it though. But it was kind of that evolution of that design. Hell, if you could get a couple of those new Zero motors, ooh.
that'd be interesting. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy those motors from them.
Yeah. Yeah, but how much you got it?
I think it'd be reasonable. I don't know. It depends. Maybe you work out a sponsorship deal. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So far we've let's see. We've got Georgia Power as a sponsor.
Nice.
They were great. They were actually the first sponsor that we hooked up with. And you know, well, better than your state provider, you know, of electricity. Go ahead.
I think you're the second college team that's got like the major power provider in that state to sponsor them.
In the state of Georgia?
No. In general, like I think Virginia Tech's got one of their sponsors. Is it Virginia Tech or RIT? Yeah, one of the other teams. It seems like they got sponsorship from their major power company. So all college teams, hit up your power supply.
Yeah, hit up your local power company
for sponsorship.
Really? Yeah, but no, they've been great to work with, and you know they really helped us with that sponsorship. And another one that's been helping us lately is Storm Copper. They're actually a Tennessee company. I can't remember what city they're in. Have you ever heard of Storm Copper by any chance?
No.
They are in, where are they at? You might know we're in Tennessee. Where is the Decatur, Tennessee? That's where they're at.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I have no idea where it's at. I've only been in Tennessee for like a year and a half.
Okay, well, yeah.
I'm lame. Yeah. You know.
they're actually, you know, working with us to design, the battery pack, you know, the connections, the layout, the design, everything related to the power system.
Wow.
Helping us with. So they've been great to work with.
Are you holding off? Are you aiming? Yeah, you already got an AC motor. Are you holding off on the motor to determine what controller you're going to get, or you guys?
We've got the Curtis, I mean the 7601 to pair with the AC20. I mean, we've got the entire package.
Yep.
In house. Is that asking? Or I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know how far you're gone.
You're asking, you know, are we also pairing a controller with those other motors that we're looking at? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yeah. You're looking at other controllers to go with. I didn't know. Actually, I didn't know that you had a controller. That was
right. So. We do. You know, of course, we've looked at some of the other ones. You know, Sevcon, Tritium, but you know, we haven't really got a concrete. You know, we've got the spec sheet. You know, with all the specs and all the data and all the, you know, everything to compare the different controllers. But like I said, I mean, until we can really get the funding, you know, we're not gonna point a finger and say that's it. So we're still, it's all still up in the air. You know, we constantly challenge everything all the time, and I feel like that's the way it should be. You know, we always come together as a group and think, you know, well, are you sure this is the right direction? Are you sure you want to go with this one? So, you know, I feel like we've still got at least a month and a half before we have to really, you know, buckle down and definitely pick. So, that, you know, like I said, it's still kind of up in the air as of right now. You know, worst case, I mean, we've got a motor and controller package. We've got drivetrains. So.
Yeah. You can get quite a bit of juice out of an AC20.
Yeah.
An AC35 would be better, but an AC20.
Yeah. It's really the whole power dense cooling thing that we're really trying to tackle this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because we don't have the budget, you know, we've had to be innovative to make up, you know, and, you know, it's challenging. I'll give it that, but. I feel like we can be successful, you know, in the long run if we're able to make these ideas work. So,
cool.
That's what the engineering, you know, that's where the engineering comes in. So,
well, if you can keep your weight way down,
that as well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, with a 250, then, and you may not need. I mean, I don't know how much power you're planning on getting out of that AC20. You may not need 9 kilowatts. You may only need 8.
Yeah, in battery storage.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on how much work.
Yeah. But that depends on how you build a pack. And
right. Yeah. Well, depending on the track as well. You know, that's depending on which track we're racing at. And, you know, I saw the Daytona highlights, I think it was last year. And I don't necessarily blame BT for racing it. Now, I heard not racing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it all also depends on the track, too.
Yeah, but they would have been more than competitive against the well, it turns out they would have been more competitive against the Catapult Australian team. Even if Catapult had – see, Catapult was trying to run – you can go back on my website and type in Daytona, and I've got videos. The video interviews, there's full versions in the audio versions of those. The videos are edited down, so if you want the full kit and caboodle from that weekend, it's there. And then I wrote some stuff, but I'm trying to think here. Half their motor conked out because they're trying to make the liquid cooling work for their hub motor,
right?
Which is a dual hub motor. Okay. So they're only able to run 40% on the controller before their motor started overheating. So with liquid cooling, that would allow them to run a whole heck of a lot more.
Right.
It was looking like they had got it working, and then it leaked somewhere along the way and shorted out half their motor.
Right.
So they basically had to cut the linings off. But I mean, the thing is, they would have been competitive with that zero that had shown up, more than competitive with that, and they would have been competitive with the Catavolt, I think, even if they'd been able to maintain running. So that's my argument. But Daytona's a big deal, and it was very different. I mean, coming into it, I would have thought, yeah, I was really disappointed they weren't going, but they had finals and schoolwork and stuff. But
yeah, trust me, I can relate.
Yeah. Well, you heard the interview. Afterwards, it was not the race I thought it was going to be. It was not the track I thought it was going to be. You know, you listen to Hemelman, and he talks about, you know, or even a catapult racer rider. He says, you're not just going up on the banking and going around. You're using it like a skateboard park. You're going shooting up and then using momentum to come down, and you're taking these odd lines through the thing. So, no, I don't blame them, but they would have been a lot more competitive than I think they thought they were. I mean, no one's going to touch Brammo that weekend.
So, yeah.
That thing was just ridiculous. I mean, Brian's like, yeah, we got a whole new swing arm and, like, new chassis bits, but I can't tell you. I'd have to kill you. Yeah. So it was, okay.
Oh, did you get a chance to check out that free book they put out? I didn't know if you got a chance to check it out.
No, because I don't have anything that'll open, and it's an Apple-only product.
That's what you thought.
and then Michael had said, oh, you can find some programs that'll open it, and I haven't bothered to look.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they're out there. It took me, I'm not going to lie, it took like 30 minutes to find a good one to work, so. I don't blame you. Yeah, it took a while, but.
Can you send me what you did have that worked?
Yeah, definitely. Okay,
cool. Yeah, or just send me where I can download it or whatever. No, yeah. I haven't looked at it. I mean, I've interviewed Brian twice over the past 2 years, yeah. Actually almost exactly a year apart. So I kind of pretty much have most of the story, but yeah. Clearly I'm not going to have those details. Going to be in that book. So I'm looking forward to that, actually. I forgot
about that. Pictures in there, and they've even got some design pictures in there, you know, early CAD files and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Neat.
All right, man, say what you need to say really quick, because it's
All right. So, well, let's just pick up where we left off. Anyway, Eric Bostrom's interview was really entertaining and actually very insightful.
Right.
So that's cool. So you guys are running a small 250 chassis.
Right.
You're running right now. You have an AC motor with a Curtis controller. You're looking at a better motor if you get some more sponsorship. What are you running for batteries?
We're running the A123 20 amp hour prismatic cells. They've been pretty easy for us to get, so we're gonna run with those.
Did you get those through TTXGP?
I did not. No, we did not.
Okay. Because they were offering like big discounts on them.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago were they advertising that for?
Last year.
Okay.
A123 was the major sponsor of the series.
Well, yeah, I knew that, but I didn't hear anything about the discount on the batteries.
It was especially for college teams, and it was like 20% off or something like that. I don't know. It was some big. Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you. Listen, man, I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. Now, my bars, after those first few times, my bars started cutting off completely. Like, my internet access. Not Skype, but my internet in general. So it was probably me the entire time. I don't know.
Okay. I went and checked my upload and download speeds just to make sure it wasn't me.
I think it's our network that we're on, which sometimes acts, you know, kind of funky, but it was probably the network I'm on.
Well, since you're on a college campus, probably everybody jumped on Call for Duty at the same time.
Oh, yeah, or some other. Never mind. There's no telling.
I won't say what I watched on the internet while I was in college. That's for damn sure. All right. Which wasn't that long ago. No. Actually, I was usually trying to get MotoGP races.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite fast enough for that. All right, so we got your bike. It's a Kawasaki 250. GP bike, which is really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Kawasaki still had 250 GP bikes. And then, you're aiming for Indianapolis. If you can make the Laguna, then cool. If not, you know, either, then Miller.
Right.
You're waiting for sponsorship. That's pretty much caught up. How many people are on your team?
I'd say total. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure that the screen switched. So, I'd say working on the motorcycle dedicated every week, we've only got really about 5 or 6 people, which is a big deal because you look at these other teams, you know, university teams that have like, you know, 30 people or Team Bramo alone that has, you know, God knows, you know, how many.
Hang on a second. Trust me, the guys that work on the bike, whenever you see the Bramo team actually at the races, there's only like 5 or 6 of them.
Down in the pits, right? At the race, there's only
actually five. at the race, and I think in the early days, which was last year, they were the guys working on the bikes on the weekends and after hours. It wasn't like a big effort, and they don't have like a major. It's not like all the engineers are working on the whole company's building these race bikes. It's like, you know, it started off as a few hardcore guys. They were willing to dedicate their nights and weekends, and since they won a national championship, well, then they got a little more money and I think a little more freedom.
Right.
And now that they won a second national championship and brought on Eric Bostrom and won a world championship with Eric Bostrom, they're getting more money and more freedom. So, Right. So yeah, don't overstate
guess,
what they got.
Right. Well, I guess I, you know, the design process alone is pretty, you know, pretty in depth. So, you know, to only have 5 or 6 people at a time, you know, plus the sponsorship, the marketing, you know, we don't really at the moment have a dedicated person for that. So, you know, that eats into design time and, you know, building time. You know,
no, alone. That's a really good point. And so, I think they get away with that. I think you're right. And I might have misrepresented there. The excuse is that and it's been true, that what they learned at the track is they're using to develop the next generation production motorcycle.
Right.
So they may actually get more in, you know, obviously they're going to have more people involved somehow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At least that's how I would play it.
Yeah. But you know, that's something, you know, in a first year, you're, you know, like I said, it's always hard. So of course, you know, we'll grow in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years and we'll add, you know, different students with different majors, you know, to the team, you know, like a business major or a marketing major. So,
right.
You know, to have different people in the future start to come into the team and, you know, sort of work at their own, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was like what Virginia Tech said. They're going to bring in English majors to write grants and,
right.
And you know, business majors and stuff to help out actually run the team. And I was like, wow, 50 people. It's like, well, yeah, but you know, what was it? Was it them or EMIS that say, well, yeah, but they're all students. So you got to have that many people putting in a couple hours here, a couple hours there to get the effect of having maybe a 15-man team.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So you guys will grow. You guys will grow.
Yeah.
And then you have support of the other teams. How many people are on the other teams?
The go-kart team, I'd say, is how many people on the go-kart team? So I'm asking Jason, our president of the EBT team. He actually just walked in.
Cool.
10 to 12 active, maybe 15 total.
So about, he says, about 10 to 15 total on the go-kart team. So they've actually got a bigger group than the motorcycle team does. And then, you know, the guys that have originally built that Chevy S10 truck for the APV club, you know, they're kind of intermingled with both groups. So,
cool.
So it'll continue to grow and only get better from here. So,
Well, that's great. Go ahead.
I was going to say that we've also been very low-key on campus because it took us a while for us to get a space on campus secured for us to do this stuff. When we did our Chevy S10 conversion, we had to stick all of our tools in the bed of in the cab of the truck. And then when we went to work, we had to pull all the tools out, work, and then put them all back into the cab of the truck. So it took us about 2 years before we could actually secure a place on campus to work out of. And really, that only happened at the beginning of this semester where we were finally secured the space to stick all of our stuff out and have our tools laying around. And so now that we got that place on campus, we started doing more things about becoming public with our presence. We started doing open houses for the campus and some other events like that, so that people are starting to recognize that we are a group on campus, and that's going to help grow us in the future. Yeah.
Cool.
Well said. Well said. That was Jason McGahey. Like I said, he's the president of the EBT team. So
sweet.
Kind of running things. Yep.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I don't know if there's too much more. I mean, you guys have hopes and aspirations and dreams and need money like every other college team.
I mean, and like I said, you know, I would love to tell you more things, but, you know, we just cannot.
Yeah. No. That cooling thing is interesting. So we'll see what you guys come up with and see what you end up telling us. All right. Well, hey, man, thanks for your time.
Yeah, I want to say one other thing to you, which is that we're giving you an interview before you've even given our school newspaper an interview.
Talking about
our being low-key on campus, we haven't even really done anything with our local school newspaper yet. So.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I only noticed, I was like, was it a couple of weeks ago? I noticed the Southern Polytechnic thing, like someone had replied or written on the thread, and it brought it back up to the front, and I went, crap, there's a fifth team out there? I didn't even notice this. And I looked how old it was, and I was like, oh, God, how did I miss this, you know? So,
yeah. But Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll make no mistake, you know, we'll be the underdog in the TTXGP this year, but you know, we're coming out strong. So
I think that happened. I think actually you might get some heap good mojo from me, because I think that's how Virginia Tech went. I think they were on the podcast before they're right about this. I think their newspaper hurried up and printed a thing before them, right before they actually got their actual interview out, if I remember how that went out. So maybe with this you'll get all kinds of coverage, you know.
Hey, that'd be wonderful.
You just lie to them and tell them I'm like the major electric motorcycle news source in the world. I'm like this big guy. Don't tell them I do this out of like, you know, a room.
Studio.
With my $30 headset and my $500 computer.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of free software. No. Oh, this is ESBK Studios. They're a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. You need to start paying attention to us. We're real time. All right.
I mean, we will definitely, you know, spread you across the web and spread you to other, you know, other electric vehicle enthusiasts. I mean, you guys are a great resource, like I said, or you are a great resource.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, I did have somebody who like checked my grammar, and then she stopped doing that. And then now I've got a guy who's editing the long podcast down to a, you know, 15-minute teaser.
Right.
And so, yeah, there is a bit of a team going on. But, yeah, hey, man, excuse me. I bad soda. I appreciate any help I can get, because let me see right here. Right now, ESBK Facebook followers are up to – I'm up to 149.
Hello.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Hold on. Yeah. Let me step aside for a second. You are able to fish from the... Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
It's
crazy,
all good,
right?
Dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Right at the end, man. You know, this is the telecommunications building, but you get a lack of cell phone service and the internet's kind of funky. So it's, I think it's because the building's like a big metal box. I think it just kills any cell phone services. At least I have no service inside the building, but barely any. So I was just stepped outside. Yeah. Sorry about that, man. We were just at the end and, Skype cut off again. So, or the internet rather.
Yeah.
Are you able to, now, are you able to hook the phone into your laptop and finish
you,
the phone?
Yeah, I called you from Skype. So my Skype recorder records it. Yeah, so recording right now, no worries. Yeah, I was just going to say, awesome. Well, I was talking about myself, so which really wasn't very fun. I was stuck at 147 followers on Facebook for a couple of days, and I'm starting to get a little bummed, but now I'm to 149. And then Twitter is 145, but Twitter is finicky. I'll have 145, and right. I'll have 139 tomorrow.
yeah, it's that's how Twitter is, man. You know, people you didn't know were following you will choose to suddenly unfollow you, and you know, you never knew they existed. It's a weird thing. Twitter's like that, but yeah, Facebook's more reliable as far as you know, generally spreading to the masses goes, but. You know, people nowadays are starting to leave Facebook and get Twitter, or they're leaving Facebook and going to, I don't know, what are some of these other ones?
Google Plus.
There's no telling, man. Google Plus, yeah. I don't think that spread as well as Google wanted it to, even. But, I don't know, man. Social media. Can't live without it, man. It's just social media.
this is how I do my research, though. I come home every night, and I've tied into you guys, and I'm tied into all the manufacturers, and I come home every night, and I go through Twitter, and I go through Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I do my research.
Yeah. It's well, that's how I see your posts as well. So, it is important.
Any help I can get to boost numbers and exposure is huge. So, and it's been growing the past every month. It jumped big. I was like 1,700 followers January and February. Last month was 3,100 hits. Not 1,700 followers, 1,700 hits. I barely have. I don't know how many I got because WordPress tells me I have like 295, but like 16 of those are email subscribers and the other half are all my Twitter followers and then my Facebook followers, and most people follow me on both.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many I really have. But anyway, it was 3,100 hits last month, and I'm on track for like somewhere between 3,200 to 3,600 hits this month. So it's growing big. It'll be this month could be my biggest month ever.
Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Thanks. So any help to build it, which means I can make more money. Well, I'm not making money yet, but get a new host. I gotta get the website hosted somewhere else, and once I do that, then I can start getting advertising and making a little cash.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll start spamming your website around every website on the internet. So start spreading it like wildfire. So
sweet. I'll also be like, I don't wanna. Damn it! This is the 15th time I've seen this advertisement for ESPK.
We know some computer folks might be able to hook you up a little bit.
That'd be awesome. But, all right, and then when you guys, if you guys make it to Indy, Indy's the closest racetrack to me. I hope to have my old 86500 Interceptor running by then, so I should see you guys there.
Cool, yeah, man. That would be a blast. Be a good weekend. We're looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
How far are you from Indy by any chance? Because you're what it?
I'm right between you two.
Okay, so I think it's like an 8-hour drive for us. But
yeah, I'm halfway.
About 8 hours.
Yeah, it's like a 4-hour ride for me or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm halfway.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll be in contact, or I'll tweet you here and there, or like your status or something. Yeah. We'll keep in touch.
All right. Cool, man. If you got anything you want to send my way, feel free.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Same for you, man.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, well, it was a pleasure talking with you, and hope to hear from you soon.
All right, you guys take care, and best of luck.
All right.
All right, well, no worries.
All right, bye.
Hey, huge props to those guys. Thank you so much, Tyler, for taking the time and being so patient with me. Those folks have, and I can't believe I just found their Facebook page now. I could have sworn I was on their Facebook page. To find it, you need to look up SPSUEVT. So two separate acronyms. You can say two separate words if you want to. So it's going to be Sierra Papa Sierra Uniform Echo Victor Tango. It's for the military types. Everyone else is going, what did you just say? Let's see here. So that's their Facebook page. And on the front, there is a link to their website and the donation page. So all these university teams need every $5 you can send them. Because those guys can live on Slim Jims and Mid Bowls. I see here. They're young. They can do it. Not the elephant in the room, but something very, very serious. No more rants again. Michael Siz will not be able to attend. First reported by RoadRacingWorld.com, and then reported by Gas 2.0 today. He will not be able to attend the TT0 this year because he has been diagnosed with cancer and will be undergoing treatments. So not something we want to hear about anyone. A lot of you folks, I'm sure, has lives have been touched by cancer in one way or another. So we absolutely wish Michael and his family the best, for absolutely sure. And just best wishes. It's hard to say the right words for this. So just all our best, and go kick that cancer's ass, man. Alrighty then, and then let's see what else. So from that somber, moving on to more to TT news, which Mike will be plugged into. I love when they talk about that in the press release. So let's see here. The teams. There's been a press release / article put up on the TT website. Look for Modus's and Mugen Square up for TT Zero title fight. So they go on and on and on about the two teams, which we'll hear all about because they're big and everyone will talk about them. Let's talk about the people that we're not going to hear about. Here's some confirmation. It says six countries will be represented. But we're going to get Manx TT will be back with David Moffat riding. The Italian outfit, Vercamoto. They posted, I remember I did something in, about them, and I said, you know, a little bit less power than an Impulse stock, Impulse R. And they a couple weeks later, they said they're going to have more power in that prototype bike. So I haven't seen anything from them, but I've been so busy with race reports and things that and trying to get my website moved over that I haven't been as diligent on Facebook lately. So that's cool news. They'll be back. Chris McGann will be riding. Italian FIV Vercamoto, Chris McGann, and last year's Japanese team. I'm gonna say it's Kamadi Mirai. Kamadi Mirai. I want to say is how you say that, but clearly I haven't watched enough anime to say it right. Anyway, it's a team from Japan. So a second team from Japan, Mugen being the other one. And Japanese national, I think I can do this one better, Yoshinari Matsuhita. I probably enunciated it all wrong, but yeah. And then also says here that Lightning will be back. Quote, U.S. Spice Lightning also return after missing the 2011 meeting, which they were there. So, I don't know. They were there over boiling the crap out of teapots. So, I don't know what that's all about. But okay. And Kingston will be back. And they've been there every year. And George Spence will begin riding for them. And then Brunel is back with Welsh rider Paul Owen and the Buckeye Current, of course, with the original 2009 TTX GP winner Rob Barber on board. Also, Imperial College will be there, represented by Spain's Antonio Maeso. I think is how you're going to say that. Let's see here. Mark Guthrie, MD, I'm assuming that means marketing director of Race Sponsors SES Satellite Leasing Limited, commented, SES is delighted to once again support the SES TT Zero. As a company, we pride ourselves in innovation and groundbreaking technology, and it's clear that this is going to be a real competition at the front of the field again for 2013. Whatever the result, all the teams can be proud of their efforts, and it's a real achievement just to get the bike on the starting grid. And that is probably No, there isn't a truer statement. There we go. I finally got it up. Props. What I love is there aren't going to be 16 teams this year. You know, there's none of that. I think we're counting. Imperial College, Buckeyes, Kingston is three, and then what was it? Brunel is four. Lightning is five. The Japanese team I can't pronounce is six. Manx TT is 7, Italian Vercamoto is 8, and then Mugen and Modus's make 10. So 10 teams, 11 bikes? Yeah. 10 teams, 11 bikes. It looks like 11 bikes that will practice and finish. Maybe not the first practice, but they may not finish one of the practices. And remember, there are three this year. And each practice also kind of gets treated like a qualifying. So it's like, whatever, your fastest time carries over. So if you miss an official-ish kind of qualifying, which there really doesn't seem to be, it's a qualifying practice, it's okay, because whatever your fastest time was will count as long as it gets you in, which I'm sure doesn't matter as long as you finish, you're in. So I'm pretty sure all these bikes most of them may not finish one lap just because they're testing how much juice they can use. But otherwise than that, they should finish at least two of the laps. I'm sure they'll be up for all three. And they will qualify, and they should all be there ready to go on race day. So this potentially could be the largest finishing field of electric motorcycles since the original 2009 race. Potentially. We'll see. You're on notice. I have many series that are on notice. What's up with that? All right. So, no, that's really exciting news. It's really sad that Michael won't be there. And, you know, it really seems to be a special place for him and his family now and the team. So, Susanna Schick just did, Susanna, at Pinky Racer. She did a post about, at gas2.org about Michael says not be able to make it. And was there last year and has some real insight. And, I think it's an article worth reading, just to give it a little bit of insight and her take on things. So it's, she doesn't expunge or expel. She doesn't go on and on and on. It's just a nice little, yeah, read it, because I said. So, all right, folks. Site went nuts last race weekend. Social media is a bit slow. I got a tons of retweets and favorites about my piece about, even Modus's, retweeted my piece about, how it, the battle between Modus's and Mugen isn't just about a battle between bikes. So, I appreciate that. Try to be fair. It was kind of hastily written. I've gotten some private messages on Twitter from neither party involved, from just folks I know who are like, I'm not sure that's, you know, complete factual. I'm not sure that's complete factual. And I'm like, oh, hail. So just nicking at the details, which is fine, because I need to be detailed nicked. So let me get off the horn. You folks enjoy. And next week's show will be the Buckeye Current. All right. Or maybe not even next week's. The next show will be the Buckeye Current as a preview to TT week, which is coming up. Dialman TT is coming up at the beginning of next month, so in 2 weeks time, 10 days time is when the festivities start. Also on June 1st, everything's happening June 1st. I got more to talk about. Moto Electra is going, they're prepping the bike, and they're going to race it across the country, and they're going to try to set a electric motorcycle record time for getting across the country. They're going to start from Florida and race across. Don't have much information yet. Be easy enough for me to get it. If I can get the time, get my head clear enough, I will absolutely get it as best as I can. Do what I can for those folks, because they're really good folks. They were so good to me and Miller back in 2011. Let's see, what else? So I got those guys, and then, oh, Mission. What the heck is up with Mission? They teased something today, RideMission.com. So Mission Motors is what I'm talking about. So there are two teams trying to make, trying to prove me wrong, or just make me look wrong. As well they should, which is probably exactly what I want. Actually, I guarantee you, that's pretty much what I want. Now, wait a second. Where's the Ride Mission products? Okay, let me hit pause on this while I find this. Hang on one second. Okay, I'm back real quick. Mission TAC Motorcycles, or mission-motorcycles.com, is the website. It seems to be a different website. It's the most advanced production motorcycle in existence, highest performing street legal electric vehicle ever made. I'm sure Lightning might have a thing or two to say about that. June 3rd, 2013. Emails. PR mission-motorcycles.com, reservations at mission-motorcycles.com. So PR at mission, by the way. They've got even a little like 6 second video of a really cool looking dash. You know, we all know with the other bike, they would put a Galaxy tablet in there and we're doing all kinds of cool things with it. So they make the dash look really, really cool and functional, which is a huge step for electric motorcycles. I haven't gotten to look at Brammo and Zero's new gauges, but it's, you know, they're pretty basic. When owners take pictures of them, they really don't look particularly, you know, cool. This thing looks pretty badass. This is a 180. What was it? I think it was Asphalt and Rubber wrote an article about it. I think he's got some ins with those folks, or at least had a relationship from the past. And apparently an old investor has come back and said, no, I want production motorcycles. And they said, okay, apparently. We will find out. I am skeptical, as well as I should be. Do One Race disappear after saying we're going to do a whole season. They leave making motorcycles. They hire people that aren't into motorcycles, that are technology people, and the focus of the business shifted. And then they end up having to lay a bunch of people off. They're basically doing what Motus is doing, or at least trying to do now, as well as them. So, clearly they wouldn't have their own website, but I'm just like, eh. And I'm not certain we'll see them race. If this new investor is much of an enthusiast, if he's so much of an enthusiast that he's going to be promoting a street bike, it would seem logical that if that type of person is the money behind things, then they would probably want to race, get the exposure that racing brings as well. I think that's really just more hope on my part, in fact, but we'll see. So they, you know, I don't think we'll see them at Laguna Seca, but don't be that shocked if they show up. And there was even rumors they're going to show up last year, or at least show up to Refuel, which is on again this year. So it's really cheap. It's like the cheapest track day at Laguna Seca. If you have an electric vehicle, go do it. Apparently Pinky Racer is going to be out there on some hot Zero, so that'll be really cool. Pinky wrote a write-up of her shack. She calls her new FX, and now she's like, wow, I really need a CHAdeMO adapter, and there needs to be a CHAdeMO charging station at the Rock Store. So we'll see if that happens. A Rock Store is a store in California at the end of Van Awesome Road. I think it's the top. Is it the one that's at the top of Palomar Mountain? I can't remember. I think I've been there, but I'm not sure. I know I've been to the top of Palomar Mountain, so that's why I say that. And back down on my VFR. Thank you very much. Which I don't have anymore, so I guess that's pointless. Anywho, lots of exciting little things going on. One not so exciting thing, best wishes at that the most. And, that's it. I'll get out of here. Enough of this news tinkering things. One last bug. Look at the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb entrance list. Entry list. That's what I'm going to say. Look at that. Well, maybe things will have changed, but. And I got to find out about that. Oh, and BRD finally replied to me on Twitter and said, let's get together. So, I don't know how I'm going to coordinate Isle of Man crap and everything, so I have no idea how this is going to go down. I say Isle of Man crap, like anyone's going to talk to me at the Isle of Man. Well, Buckeye might. Yeah, they might give me the 411. So, anyway, y'all have a good night. Bye.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Listen, I don't know what these kids are doing. They're supposed to be studying. I don't know, man. The internet's just crashing.
they're all hunting for those papers online that print off and put their name on real quick. Ah!